Attention all loyal douchebags.
This is Jesse May.
This is Mike. Thank you for listening to the show. As always, you've already done so much, and yet here we are to ask you to do even more.
We have a big favor to ask. Give us a 5-star rating. That's it. Takes 2 seconds. Rate us for 5 stars and go listen to the rest of the podcast.
We love doing the show. We are happy to have you here with us. And when I started that sentence, I thought there was a second part to it. What she said. Please rate, review the show. And with no further ado, enjoy.
Oh.
I'm all man when it comes to the crust.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs is a soup.
Wow.
I'm a man of many earth tones. I think Cheerios are still hot.
Cheerios?
Cheerios are hot, babe.
Ooh.
It's like an avocado. It's raw.
The deuce.
The deuce.
The deuce. I dated a couple of that.
Oh, my God. I talk about that. I have a whole joke about how girls sound like this in L.A. They're like amazingly. I said they all sound like a creepy door that's forever opening.
I like that.
Thank you.
I was thinking like horror movie trope. But no, you're right. A creaky door.
Oh, yeah. Are you an Asian ghost coming out of a well?
Coming out of a television.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
A creaky door that never stops opening. I think that's even more descriptive and better.
And then I say I feel like I'm in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, man, I live in the Haunted Mansion, bro. You've seen my living room.
But, okay, we talked about this in the last episode, but yeah. I do want to know, you don't believe in ghosts?
We have to have discussed this before. Long story short, I've had...
Whoa.
I'll go with one solid instance that I can't explain.
Okay.
And I did our house, I believe it is true. It has been repeated to me that somebody hung themselves in our garage.
Here?
No, the house that I grew up in.
Jesus. Why?
Dude, this house was built in like...
Someone still could have hung themselves.
1998.
Yeah, someone... That was a rough year.
You're right.
NSYNC broke up.
Oh my goodness.
I think they got together, but still.
98... Millennium. Well, first they had their early years doing barbiturates in Germany, right?
Whoa. NSYNC?
Yeah. Aren't they like the Beatles, where before they got foisted on the world, they sent them to Germany and fed them a bunch of speed?
Wow. That would be a real breaking story. I didn't know that.
I don't know if... Look it up.
You're more on the insider when it comes to music.
I thought one of the two, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. I think Backstreet were first... I think NSYNC were like the replicant of Backstreet.
Who's on the front street?
I thought they sent them to a bunch of gay clubs in Europe to get some like live performance experience before they even released their first album.
I mean, so you think this was Backstreet Boys? Let's see, Backstreet Boys. Did you ever see that Chris Rock joke?
I doubt it.
He talks about, ooh, Backstreet Boys, ooh, ooh. Who's on the front street? Big Bird?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Well, it seems like a lot of them have had some drug addiction issues. AJ McLean, and then...
AJ recorded a... Oh, that's right, because you didn't actually know, even despite the fact that you've been sitting next to my Billboard chart thing here for forever.
Yeah. Well, because it's on a weird wall.
I guess you wouldn't see it over
there.
No,
it's literally hidden.
It's right next to the New York Times bestseller list.
That you are on.
Maybe.
You're on that.
I'm on it. Just
it's
barely.
It's a big deal.
Just barely, but yeah. So we made a song, and AJ from Backstreet Boys was kind enough to come and sing on it.
Really?
Yep. It's called Butt Town.
It's called Butt Town?
It's about, yeah.
Like butts?
Yes.
You wrote a song called Butt Town.
Yeah, me and my buddy Garrett, when I was living in Oxford... Because in England, like the boy band thing had just kind of come to its end here, and Nick Carter had gone solo, and Justin Timberlake had gone solo. But as it ran out of steam here, here's the thing with European music: like this is my sincere theory. They never really like they hip hop, you know, is a thing over there.
Sure,
but it didn't, like, when hip hop hit in the 90s, it. Like, just put this like stranglehold and got tighter and tighter and tighter until everything, and like, even like corny white chicks doing pop songs by the 2000s. We're singing over a hip hop beat.
Yes.
You know, there's just this.
We have Timbaland to thank for
this,
that.
Exactly. This sort of street thing made it really hard to get away with the corniest of corny 80s and early 90s stuff. Hip hop kept a lot of pop music more honest than you realize, since that never really infiltrated Europe to that same degree, maybe because they don't have, like, you know, as there aren't as many African Europes as there are African Americans. I don't know what the reason is. There's like a through line straight from fucking ABBA to now of super corny, cheesy pop, like the Vengabus. Like that was never going to happen.
ABBA
in America.
Wow,
dude.
That the sign? I saw the sign.
That's adorable. No, that's Ace of Base,
which is basically the ABBA of Sweden.
No, ABBA's the ABBA of Sweden.
Fair,
right? But Ace of Base is the second one. But Ace of Base is the second one. All right, I'll give you that. I love, because of our camera setup, since I didn't bother setting up a third camera when we high five, nobody can actually see it.
No one can see it. The high five gets lost in the ether.
Each of us, one of our shoulders disappears and you hear a clapping noise. Anyhow, when I lived in England, they had a reality show that was just the cheesiest pop stars of the day performing ABBA songs.
That sounds great.
ABBA was still that big.
Is ABBA Dancing Queen?
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture what would be the equivalent of here in my head, an ABBA song.
Don't ask me why I put on, I have this weird thing where I have fond memories of watching Grease when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had like an older sister. So I got, you know, a bunch of shit was stuck in front of me, and some of it, I liked it, you know?
ABBA songs.
And I have this weird desire to enjoy Grease with my daughter someday. So I was just like so tired of listening. We just listened to the Haunted Mansion song over and over and over. They have a very, very small number of songs they request ad nauseum. So all of a sudden I was just like, I don't know, I'm going to put on the one that I want from Grease.
Is that ABBA?
No. Oh. You're saying like, what's the American ABBA?
I'm trying to think of their songs. Dancing Queen.
Yeah, 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 sure.
Okay.
SOS, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there are quite a few songs. Isn't that like technically kind of disco-y?
Oh, for sure.
Disco pop?
Dancing Queen is a prototypical disco song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So my point is, and I'm just saying Grease to me is like the American equivalent of ABBA that was coming out
That's
at the same time.
Fair.
It's the same kind of like unabashed cheesiness. So I'm living in Oxford in 99-2000 in America. As cheesy as the boy band thing was, it was so much cheesy over there. They took it and they ran with it.
Well, I mean, the Spice Girls were the cheesiest
right.
of cheese.
And there was like S Club 7, and there was boy and girl bands with like 7 of them. There was just like this endless army of them. So me and my buddy Garrett made up a band that didn't exist, obviously, called For Real.
That's a great name for a boy band. And there two of you, that'd be even better.
Yeah, and we the song that we made up was, we just had the title Butt Town. And so that was it. The joke was, we're starting For Real and our song's going to be called Butt Town. And lo and behold, many years later, I'm in a joke metal band, and AJ McLean came on the show and, you know, hit it off with Jason and indicated he'd be open to making a song with us. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Butt Town's time to shine. So I basically, you know, with the band's help, obviously, like, finished. I already had the hook and some.
What was the hook? I need to know what the hook was for Butt Town.
I can play it for you. I
think. You sure we're not going to get flagged by copyright?
I'm sure I can.
We can't have Butt Town take us down.
I can retroactively get it cleared because obviously I'm allowed to play my own shit, but I know I'm not currently. It's Let Me Lady Take You Down. Let Me Take You Down to Butt Town. The joke was to me was boy band songs are always like they're singing to a girl.
There's always a girl.
But they're all taking turns. So to me, to Garrett, the implication was it sounds like five guys all want to have sex with the same woman at the same time.
I never thought of that.
But you know
once.
What I'm saying?
Wow, my whole childhood is a lie.
Because they literally, one guy will sing, and in the video, the other guy would like knock the other guy out of the way so he could sing the next line. So the joke was all these guys want to like quintuple team this girl.
I have a confession to make.
It's pretty vulgar. Yeah.
Your dog's been licking my foot the entire time.
He's becoming a licker. We told you this. Iggy.
It just feels nice I didn't let it stop. I feel like I Iggy enabled
just
it.
Lick me instead.
It's loving. It's loving.
Yeah, but it's annoying. My children are loving and they're annoying.
It's
people got to stop being annoying. Dogs got to stop being annoying. You got it pretty good here, dog.
Do you remember last episode when I was going to find the meaning of whippersnapper? Where it came from.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fairly old-fashioned word, having been around since the late 1600s.
Whoa.
When it apparently arose out of the whip snapper, which implied a general sense of loss of noise and lots of noise and very little importance. Around the same time, the word whippergeny was a derogatory term for a woman.
Ah.
So it's basically...
Pipe down, whippergeny.
Yeah, it's basically you guys telling us to shut up.
Oh, I see, because I feel like it's become... Not that anybody uses it anymore, but anytime you use it, you're being self-consciously like acting like an old-timey person.
Right.
But when you do that, I feel like you're always whippersnappers used as a pejorative term for young people.
Yes, it does say that as well.
Right. But I guess in its original form, this would be old people telling you're just flapping your gums and you're not really saying anything. You need to shut the hell up. And that would be something that old people would frequently levy at the young.
It is a derivative of a couple things. It's a young person who's presumptuous, overconfident, and it comes from the term snipper snapper.
Oh my God.
It's a 17th century term for a young man with nothing better to do than to hang about idling, snapping a whip, which sounds like Indiana Jones. Psh. It just sounds, psh. And he had a lot to do.
Just in front of the general store, like when you graduate from just running around all day pushing a ring of wood with a stick, you just start snapping whips.
Do you think that there's enough boredom in our generation for us to be producing new things? I feel like all the boredom created a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like the boredom was the fuel behind the Industrial Revolution.
Sure. Well, it gets pretty dark pretty quick when you talk about labor-saving devices.
True.
During the era of slavery.
You're not wrong.
But in child labor. But,
which is still happening.
This is something. Oh, yes, it is.
We need cell phones.
Just been outsourced. Yeah. I will again refer to, this might be the third time in this show that I've talked about my recent Tully Show interview with Dr. Julia Poerio, PhD,
yes.
And about the value of the vacant mind and what's happening when... all the things your brain is doing when it's seemingly doing nothing.
We need those nothing moments.
For sure. This weekend, I, not to say that they are good, but as a, for example, I wrote two songs almost in their entirety. One, because I got these water alarms that I bought because I fear water.
What do you mean? Like a fear of like rain or a shower?
No, I fear... until you own a house, you don't, like when you rent and there's just like a pipe is leaking, you can just like let it go for a week until you're like, oh, it's pretty annoying. It's kind of wet in here. Should we call the landlord to do something about that?
I just peeled the walls with my bare hands.
Right. And then when you own the place, you're like, oh my God, we're all going to die. That's that little puddle of water on the floor is like $7,000 and an insurance claim that I can't make because if I do it, they'll cancel my insurance. Holy fucking shit. Like I leave the house for an hour. Or I shut the water off in my house because I'm so fucked. Now I'm exaggerating, but overnight we turn the water off. I'm just so.
Really?
We have friends who've gone away for a night and then their fridge leaked or whatever.
Holy
and then their floors are ruined.
Yeah.
It's such a big deal. So I bought these little bullshit things on Amazon that like you get a drop of water on them and like this ear splitting siren goes off. And I put them underneath like all behind all the toilets, underneath all the sinks. And one of them has gone rogue. And it was malfunctioning this weekend, and it woke my wife up two times. The first time she dealt with it, the second time she was like, you know, you could help me with this. And so I got up, and because I'm in my 40s, if I wake up during the night, I then have to pee. And the combination of dealing with the alarm and peeing, I was then kind of up, and then like
a lot of water works.
So I ended up down here in the basement at 3:30 with a guitar recording like almost an entire song idea that popped into my head.
Whoa.
Because I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. We're taping this on a Monday. I woke up on a Sunday just while you're just there staring at the ceiling. If you can resist the urge to reach for the phone the second your eyes open, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of music and I'm like, oh, that's that song. That's that song. That's it. Oh, I don't think that's a song. I think I made that up. And boom, I'm down here again. And these are the things that, and I'm not saying that they're good. It's just there's no denying the objective fact that two pieces of music now exist that did not exist because my brain was idle.
That's kind of great. The idle brain is they say is the devil's playground.
No, that's idle hands.
But they also say idle mind is the devil's
right.
playground.
But there's so many, like the recipe for great thinking is think real hard and then stop thinking. It's been proven over and over again. The measure of volume is the Greek mathematician Heraclitus or whatever was like, how do I measure volume? God damn it, volume. Oh, volume. Fuck. Give me a pencil. Give me a protractor. No, volume. And finally he's like, fuck it. I'm taking a bath. And he got in the bathtub and he noticed that as he got in the bath, the water level rose. And he's like, oh, displacement, volume, eureka. And the story goes, he then ran through Athens naked and wet to like run back to his lab to the study of volume. And there's some like quantum physics was some guy was getting on a bus and was like, oh, yeah. And it's like, obviously he didn't think of it getting on the bus. His brain had been doing a puzzle behind a curtain for years. And that was when the last fucking place, the last piece went into place. And then the puzzle came out. And he's like, I got it.
It is always like that when you are in those idle moments, shower thoughts, car thoughts, mm-hmm. where you're doing something or yeah. nothing. But usually you're doing something that's kind of somewhat a common thing that you do. And your brain is able to sort of have a little bit of a playground and you're like, oh,
right.
There's the missing piece.
Yeah. Or you just think really dumb stuff. But that's cool too.
I just imagined like the Greek, you were running upstairs because there's a water association there. So you didn't necessarily get out of the tub, but you definitely probably, you know, did you run up? Did you have pants on in the night? I just am picturing you running around your house, writing music, And you don't have like house pants on or something.
No, I wear matching
house dress
pajama sets
with a hat with a long
my cap.
Yeah, your cap hat.
Yeah,
Ma. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ma in her kerchief. I in my cap.
like the old people from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The beds are pushed together.
Yeah,
the couple.
We're in there with several old people.
That's what the song's gonna be
for warmth. No, do you know what? I like sleeping in clothes, but it's been, we have, it's not even surprising anymore to have a heat wave in October. That's sort of an annual thing.
It's
here
insane.
In LA. And so we've had our annual October heat wave at the exact same time that our HVAC quit for the, I don't know how manyth time. So I think sleeping in Solamente undies just because it was so hot.
Do you guys have sleep chemistry?
Didn't mean to turn you on.
Do you guys have sleep chemistry? I think it's important in a relationship.
Okay, break it down.
Well, I think it's important to sleep with someone right away. I don't mean to be intimate with them. I mean to sleep in a bed with them to mm-hmm. see if that's even going to be a compatible issue.
Oh my goodness. I don't know that I've ever had a partner with whom I did not consider myself sleep compatible. What might that look like, Jesse?
Well, I think it has to do with how loud the people are when they sleep. Some people talk in their sleep.
Yeah.
Some people punch the air in their sleep. Right. Some people sleepwalk.
Oh, I gotcha.
Can you imagine that nightmare?
Yeah, right. So I am not sleep compatible with anyone because I snore and everyone I've ever slept with has told me about it.
Does your wife complain about it?
Yes.
She does. Mm-hmm. And so what is your solution for that?
I went and did a sleep study one time and they're like, you're fine. So what can I do?
I love that. It's basically like how every other study is done. It's just to benefit.
It's like
a sleep study. You taking a nap. You've recorded yourself, and you're like, it's fine.
No, hell no. I was on Wilshire Boulevard, and I slept in their little place, and woke up in the morning, and they said you're fine. It's the thing where like your car's making that noise, and then as soon as you take it to the mechanic, it stops making the noise.
So you stop snoring.
When I was there. So it's a little complicated because there's no doubt that if I stopped drinking entirely, my snoring would decrease significantly.
Alcohol.
Right. But it's not solely that. when I, my first real girlfriend one time invited a friend over to listen to me snore. Cause she's just like, you won't believe this. This is before the days where we had phones where you would record this stuff. She's like, you will not believe this guy snoring. And I wasn't drinking every day when I was 15 or 16. So drinking exacerbates it. But I've actually...
Does she just deal with it now? She must love it.
What she says is that, and I'm inclined to believe her, is what I think is working in our favor in terms of sleep chemistry is that she is the sort of person who can, and I find this to be broadly sexist here. I've known any number of women who fall asleep easily, just put their head down and go to sleep. I feel like as a general, in my travels, it seems like a lot of women fall asleep that way. And most of the guys that I know, it's like a little bit of a struggle to like make yourself shut it down. My point being, she tends to fall asleep before I do. And she says, and I believe her, the snoring is fine so long as she's already asleep by the time I start.
Ah, so she's a deep sleeper. There can be the compatibility. If but you're a not, snorer, though. She's not?
No, but she says that she can sleep through the snoring. But I think if she wakes up and I'm snoring, then that is a problem. And
so has your snoring ever woke her up?
I'm sure it has. I don't think that's like a routine thing.
But she's never like, you guys have, it hasn't been a point of contention for either of you in this relationship.
I wouldn't say contention, but look, I'm sure there's all sorts of holes in my game in this regard, but I am fairly preoccupied with not inconveniencing other people.
Yes.
Like it's a really, really big thing to me. I hate to feel like I'm inconveniencing people, and I feel like fucking Bruce Banner here. That when I'm
a superhero,
when I'm Bruce Banner, I'm under control, but I can't control when the Hulk comes out. 16 hours a day, I think I'm a very conscientious, polite person. Now, I know there's huge holes in my game, and I'm sure there's all sorts of rude things that I do that I don't even realize are rude, but like to the extent this is something that I'm very, very committed to, and it bothers me that I'm so committed to that during my waking hours, and yet I can't control doing something that is so inconvenient to the person that I love the most when I'm sleeping, and I can't make it stop. I've been trying more recently to just, because when I was in Las Vegas for Skankfest recently.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about Skankfest. I need to hear all the things about Skankfest.
I mean, it was literally the exact same thing as the year before. I found a coffee shop there. I went to the same coffee shop. I still like it. I went to the same $16.95 prime rib place. It's just as good as I remember from last year. Fremont Street is the same mixture of like, wow, this is pretty cool, and damn, this is pretty sad. Oh, the humanities. All the same comics were there. We ran all the same Ellis Mania fights. I made many of the same jokes. It went great. It went really, really.
Did it feel like deja vu?
A little bit. And you know, we've done so many Ellis Manias that there's just like good ones and bad ones, and these were good ones.
That's good.
And there's a part of that you can control with preparation. Like there's kind of three levels to it. You know how it is. Like I guess I take this for granted. If I get on a microphone and have something to play off of for 2 hours,
you can do it.
I'm like gonna say a couple of funny things, mm-hmm. but I don't know how, but you know, there's good days and bad days.
There's also a possibility you might snore.
There's a chance. And so I think I was like, I did have good days. I was a little extra.
That's
funny.
Great.
And then there's the extra level of the best part of Ellis Mania is when somebody who gets in the ring, who's like never thrown a punch in their entire life, and they discover that they've secretly been like a samurai warrior unbeknownst even to them. And that's the stuff that you can't control. Is
yeah.
Who are these like unknown heroes going to be? And we had a couple of those. So they were really good shows, but it was just like, show up, do all the same stuff I did last year, announce all the same fights. Cool. They went pretty well. Great. Get on a plane. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. How did we get on Skankfest?
So I was saying that I really didn't want to snore there because I wanted to get decent rest.
Because
the thing is that, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's always like, oh, you're so lucky. Iggy, shut up.
Iggy, it's okay.
That you get to go to a hotel and get some rest all by yourself. But this time I actually decided to have some drinks because I'm like, I'm so tired of being the only sober person at Skankfest. Everybody else here is on mushrooms. I want to have a few. There's literally, I'm an artist. I could go in there and just drink free beer all day. I want to have a few beers. I want to have a few goddamn beers.
Yeah, have some fun.
But then I'm going to snore and it's super dry in Vegas and I'm actually going to come home more tired than I left. And
maybe snore even more.
Well, no, but then there's like the expectation that it's not just coming from her. It's coming from me as well. That it's like, okay, you took the kids for a whole weekend. You're free. Do your thing. Mr. Mom. I don't want to say Mr. Mom because that's like, you know.
It's a great movie. Say it.
But you know
fine.
What I'm saying? I'm here to take over. And it's like, but if I feel like shit because I drank for 3 straight days and then slept terribly because of it. I feel like I need a break coming back from that, but I don't, you're the one who deserves the break, yes. Not me. So I don't want to, so I actually just tried, because I know if I go on my back, I'll snore. I just tried wedging, because you're in a hotel bed, a queen bed by yourself. You have like 11 pillows at your disposal. So I just like built a wall behind me to try to keep me on my side all night. And I woke up and I think it actually, like, I can't tell if I was snoring or not.
Wait, why did you want to prevent snoring when you were alone? Is it because
then
that would make you get less sleep?
Yes.
Like, got yeah, that's it. The so thing. When you're snoring, you're not in a deep enough sleep stage.
My greatest concern about losing my mental faculties as I get older is, like, if there's some sort of, you know, at the end of it all, you go to the gates of heaven or whatever, and they tell you all the mysteries of your life that you didn't know when you were down here. You know, the aliens were real the whole time, and this and that is that they're going to be like, when you drank, you snored, and when you snored, your brain didn't breathe, and you deprived your brain of oxygen. And so that means, you know, 5 nights a month for your entire adult life, you basically were suffocating when you slept, and that's why you lost your mind when you turned 60.
Jesus.
That's my greatest, that's pretty much
God.
My, that's like.
You worry about that stuff? Man.
I would say that that's like my, outside of all of the fears that we all share, like my own, my personal fear, that's probably about the greatest one.
Add that to nightmare fuel.
Hell yeah.
Jesus.
Right. Hey, do you take ADHD medication?
You know, I have.
This show ought to.
This show definitely is the non-antidote to ADD. It is a pure ADHD podcast for sure. I don't take medication. I am a good candidate for it. I do see a professional that helps me with it. And I do read a lot
of... You do?
I do. I do read a lot of literature about it. I actually just started to read Gabor Mate's Scattered Minds, formerly Scattered, which is about ADD. Do you know Gabor? He's a psychiatrist.
He changed the name of his book?
He re-released it and called it Scattered Minds.
It's the same book, just different
same
title?
Same book, yeah.
It's pretty...
Very, very ADD.
Pretty scattered, yeah.
Very ADD. But, so to answer your question, no, I've never taken pharmaceuticals. I'm not a big pharmaceutical supporter. I do see that there are a lot of people who benefit from the drug and benefit from drugs and whose lives have been completely changed, altered in the good because of these medications. I myself have a fear of them. It's my own thing. But this book is...
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I stop you right there? How do you know if you've never tried them?
How do I know what?
So you know that they help lots of people.
Yes.
You don't.
I just don't want to take them myself.
But how do you know if you've never tried them?
How do I know what?
How do you, if you know that they can help some people and you know that you would potentially be a decent candidate for them, what is the argument for not
trying? I just don't want to alter my brain chemistry in that way.
But you know it's not permanent.
Yeah, but...
I've argued with so many people, never about the ADHD, always about antidepressants. And I feel like I've many of these people, because it went on for many years, Jason Ellis is a good example of this, I think ultimately did try some antidepressants and at least had some intermittent success, you know, good results with that. One of the functions of depression is it tells you nothing can help you.
Right.
And I just am like, if you really are suffering the way that you say you are, and I believe that you are, if I told you that there is a thing you can take that may, it's a coin flip as to whether or not it'll work, but if it doesn't, you can stop taking it and it'll just go away like it never happened. What is the argument for
not
taking it?
Well, I don't necessarily believe that it does nothing. I think any sort of medication you take will alter your body, your being in some way permanently. And down the road, there could be adverse effects. For me...
Okay. I don't think that's true, but that's an argument. Okay.
For me, I'm in the place of understanding how to adjust the behaviors. Because I don't... From what I've read, the diagnosis of ADD and the ADHD as a disorder or as a sort of... mental illness is inaccurate. It's actually an underdevelopment of your brain. Your brain was underdeveloped as a child because of various reasons. There's a little bit of nature versus nurture in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
Too much red number five in your Skittles?
Yeah, like there's some of that stuff. There's some nutrition, there's stressors, there's a whole bunch of effects that can cause this underdevelopment in your brain. As an adult, one of the ways to counterbalance the effects of ADD and ADHD is behavioral therapy and things like that. So I'm trying to do something that is permanent as opposed to take something that's semi-permanent.
All right.
I'm trying to actually alter my brain permanently in the benefit for myself than take something that is just going to work while I'm taking it.
Okay. All right. That's yeah. that. Okay. I'm picking up what you're throwing down. That's a valid argument. Yeah, I did. I tried it one time.
You tried the meds?
Yeah. Right before I moved out of New York, I had a primary care physician that I don't know why I had to go see him so often, but I'd seen him a couple of times and I just like felt like I liked him mm-hmm. and I felt like he got where I was coming from and I felt like he like respected my intelligence. And I just made an appointment. And I was like, you know, this is before I got into entertainment and I was really struggling because I felt like I was supposed to be doing something with my life more than waiting tables. And I had all the intentions in the world and I had all the energy to do that. And yet just somehow nothing, I was just wasn't getting traction working on projects and whatever. And I was just like, look, dude. This is when you start to hear about college students who are like abusing it and just like, you're a fool if you're taking tests without having taken Ritalin the whole night before. Yeah, whatever. So I was like, look, dude, I could come here and I could go, I don't know. I'm just having a little trouble focusing. I'm like, I don't want to do you like that. I'm like, I have a feeling that if I was, you know, 7 or 8 years younger, that if I was in high school right now, they would have just prescribed me this stuff.
Right.
And I don't know if it's right for me or not, but based on what I've read, I feel like I fit a lot of the descriptions. I would like to try the drugs. Can you prescribe the drugs? And he's like, yeah, cool. And I took him for like a day and it was one of the worst days of my entire life.
What was the effect? Tell me if you felt an onset, like what did you oh my feel God, yeah. a threshold?
Oh yeah, absolutely. What was that? And look, because I did take antidepressants for a brief period of time and they said you won't feel them kicking in. I felt them kicking in hard. I had a very good experience. And I've said this is why I've been such an advocate for antidepressants over the years. They worked. They really did the trick for me up to and including it made me want to stop drinking so much and stop whatever and exercise and whatever. And it made me want to like get really, really clear. The antidepressant made me want to stop taking the antidepressant.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was my experience. I just needed a little nudge, and that was clearly the right drug for me at the right time. And, mm-hmm. and that's why I've heard, because I was that guy who's like, if I feel happy on a pill, that's not really happiness. That's the pill.
I don't think that.
No, I know I you don't. Think that's childish. But I've heard so many people repeat that, and since I felt that way, I've argued in flavor. Just give them a try. Just yeah. give them a try. So I took the, I don't know what the hell I took. I don't remember. Ritalin. It was probably Ritalin. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I just felt like speedy and like I'm wired and I can't get comfortable. There's this very like this cliche thing about like coke and other drugs that like wherever I am isn't where I'm supposed to be. Let's try going in the other room. We'll be fine once we get to the other room. And then you get there and you're like, I don't want to be here. Let's go. Why don't we go there?
That sounds horrible.
It's terrible.
It sounds like a panic attack.
So it wasn't anything. What I hear about panic attacks sounds so terrible.
Horrible.
I've never had anything like that. But I was swimming. I still swim laps. I just started swimming laps then. I went to the gym and I swam longer that night than I've ever swam before or after. Because I was just trying to get the nervous energy out. And then I had this fucking amazing apartment. And my room was basically a studio apartment. And I couldn't go to bed because I knew I couldn't fall asleep. So I also had like a love seat from IKEA that was in my room and it was in front of a TV. And I just laid on the love seat all night and I would like sleep for 8 minutes and I'd wake up and I'd watch TV for a little while.
Oh my gosh.
And then I'd get tired and I'd turn it off and I'd go back to sleep and then I'd wake up. I only took them the one time and I was like, yeah, these are...
You're like, it worked.
These are not...
And I'm going to fix myself. Well, and that's I don't ever want to feel like that again.
And that's what I've always sort of heard about the ADHD stuff it's sort of like the sorting hat in Harry Potter or whatever is like, if you need it, it works for you. If you don't need it, it feels really bad.
Yeah. And what you're basically doing, what the drug does is it wakes up a sleepy part of your brain.
I see.
People with ADD have a sleepy section of their brain, usually mm-hmm. the prefrontal lobe.
I see.
And, you know, that's the mood center and responsible for a lot of motivation and all of that. So what I am trying to do for myself, and I am seeing areas where it's working, is make it so that I am learning why I'm doing things in a certain way, learning the things that make me do certain behaviors, and then adjusting those things incrementally. It's very difficult because it's the way your brain functions on autopilot. So it's very hard to switch that.
Yeah, old habits die hard. You know, my son's been learning to play guitar, and I'm trying to impress on him that I'm like a pretty good guitar player, but there's also a cap on how good. I can't really get any better because along the way I found some like cheat codes that allowed me to do stuff,
yeah.
But they're bad habits, but they allowed me to get where I was trying to get. But those bad habits will also keep me from getting any further. And I was like, learn, this is your time in your first year of playing. Learn the exact right way you're supposed to hold a pick, the exact right way your finger's supposed to go on, because you will put such a ceiling on your playing. And the way that his guitar instructor put it is practice makes permanent.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. When you have these mental habits and you've been doing them for, in your case, 23 years.
Thank you.
It's really, really hard to break that. Well, strap yourself in, because half the people in this town are overly reliant on ADHD medication. And there is a warning about a global shortage.
Shocker.
Of ADHD medication. I think the reason being, it's not, yeah, it's global supply chain, yada, yada, yada. But it's also that as the rest of the world becomes richer, surprise, surprise, people get a little bit of wealth. And look.
What do you mean? They get richer in what?
I was giving the cynical take, which is all of a sudden rich kids have ADHD. Poor kids don't have enough money.
Right. And it's like the poor kids are the ones that are suffering.
Right. Which is probably a very cynical way of putting it. Probably the truth is that there were lots of farmer kids in China who also weren't getting their chores done and were getting whip snapped.
Are you saying that ADD is like you know, just some sort of like a rich kid's disease. Are you saying this is like an entitled disorder? That would be funny. ADD, the disorder of the entitled.
Many people would argue that it is.
It could very well
and
be.
And that more and more kids are becoming entitled, and then more and more kids are getting, or also like, what does it matter if you have ADHD if you're working on a farm? ADHD only really matters once you ask a kid to sit in a classroom all day and sit still and pay attention and get good grades and get into a good college. You know, that's when these things either, in some cases, the kid doesn't really have an issue, but the drug will help them do better in school, which is what the parents decide is what's most important for them.
God, that's just so terrifying to toss your kid on Ritalin,
yeah, man,
and Adderall. And I will say, before we get into this article, anybody listening...
That's the article. I don't think there's any more to it.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
There's not enough ADHD medicine to go around, and there probably won't be anytime soon.
Well, the NHS said it shows that 200,304 people are in receipt of ADHD meds.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Yeah. And the rest of us are just trying to find where we put our keys last.
Pretty much.
There's 3,000 people on the medication. The rest of us are just like, did I lock the door? Is the oven on? Did I leave my kid in the store?
Oh my God. I think I deleted it, but I went to, before I went to Skankfest, Jason forgot to bring some, just like an iPad that we use on the show or mm-hmm. whatever, and asked me to run to his house and get it. You know that when I go away on, I've never, this was like an unprecedented challenge for me. If I go away, it's for a couple of days, I turn off the water in the house. It's gotten easier for me because I now have apps. I have like smart,
right,
you know, doorknobs that'll tell me if they're closed or not. But I literally need to walk around the house and be like, I'm like Rain Man. Like, you know, the stove is off. You got it. The stove is off. I've never faced that before with someone else's house. Because I had to go to his house and I had to get the thing. And I know he's away for the weekend because so am I. And on the way out, I have to make sure.
You did your short list for Jason?
I I was like, yeah, cool. Doors closed. Walked away, got in my car, sat there, was ready to drive away. And I go, nope. And I got back out and I walked around and shook the doorknob. And I was like, nope. And I took out my phone and I took a fucking picture of the door, his door closed. Just so, and I don't have to look at the picture once I have it. It's just I need to have it to not worry about it anymore.
ADD, the more you forget.
And this is the way I'm living.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.